Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
He's our voice of reason on Fridays, and we love it. We've got Dr. Anthony Rao on the phone. Good morning, Dr. Rao. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning to the two of you.
Yeah, so a reflective day today. How should we process it, even though we're in really hard times right now?
Yeah, I'm balancing both this sense of optimism. You know, I feel like we can get through this fall and winter. We've just got to really pull together. You know, we can't be as divided. You know, we've got to think about, and this is the part of the reflection, you know, what we went through with 9/11 and how we did pull together and we honored all those sacrifices and sad moments. You know, this is different. This is like another type of terrorist attack, if you will. It's just going to be a longer term. We've got to really pull together. And I'm seeing some evidence of that. Sometimes I see it fall apart. And other times I do see more and more people trying to get their head around it. This is real. You know, this is something that we really have to take seriously. And we're going to have a lot of disappointments along the way.
It seems like parents with really young kids, infants, toddlers, it seems like they're having the hardest time right now because it's just a lot to process and a lot of not knowing what to do next. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, when parents and kids are stuck in the same spot at home 24/7, let alone when you throw schooling onto that or working remotely, you know, it's not easy for anyone, right? But I have found that there's some evidence there that for these, you know, youngest parents, you know, moms predominantly, that they're suffering the most. And I would think it would be more, you know, school age kids and their parents, right, fighting. But it turns out this is like a silent, you know, suffering group. You know, it's an interesting statistic I came across. You know, prior to the pandemic, women during their pregnancy or within a year of delivering, you know, they were showing some anxiety and depression around it, 10 to 25% of them, right? That sounds about right. You know, we've heard of postpartum and things like that. Well, since the pandemic, depression is at 40% in these women.
Wow.
Anxiety, and here's the one that really got me, 72%. And, you know, we're not really thinking of them. We have this very, you know, awesome and wonderful view of them with their infants or toddlers, and they're close and they're cuddling. But this is a group of women who really are vulnerable, and we've got to have an eye out for them and give them some resources and, you know, circle the wagons around them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm telling people, reach out to these women, you know, and call them. Like, you know, let them hear a human voice. Don't just text. Hey, do you need anything? You know, maybe we can figure out a way to meet safely. You know, chin up, like whatever it takes. But getting them some real resources, particularly if it's something, you know, you think that they may be silently suffering like this. If you're out there listening now and you're one of these women, it's time to think about getting some help.
So what is, because obviously we all know what anxiety means, what that means. But as a doctor, how do you decide whether or not, like, I have anxiety or I have anxiety?
Is it actionable?
How do you know which it is?
Yeah, great point, because anxiety is actually our number one emotion. If you were to track it all day long, you're more likely to worry and ruminate and obsess and get spooked by something. And those moments added up are probably, in terms of the emotions we have, you know, anger and aggression and jealousy and, you know, all that, or sadness, is probably the number one emotion we have. It's a natural set of signals that fire up any time we have some perceived threat. Doesn't have to be real threat. So it is tough. It's a subjective diagnosis. So when for you feel, hey, this is over the top, it's starting to affect things in my life, the people around me, I can't focus. I'm not as clear-headed. I feel agitated. Sometimes my body reacts because there's so much adrenaline in it. That's when you got to say, look, I've got to begin to take some measures to deal with this, because anxiety tends to spread.
The things you've just described, for some people, that's every day.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, but I love what you said about anxiety tends to spread. And I think we all, me included, we all need to check ourselves, because I can call you up in the middle of the day and I want to dump my bucket out because I'd like a new bucket, but I put it on that person.
So here's what's bothering me now.
I do it to you sometimes, Nick, too. I'll call you. But so then, and then you take the stuff that I've dumped out. Now you've got your stuff, and like, we keep doing it. So is that like what you mean by that? We got to be careful about that.
Yeah. In fact, emotions are, particularly strong emotions, are unbelievably contagious, if you will. You know, we pick it up in the voice. We see it in the body mannerisms, the types of words we choose, how pressured the speech is. Like, anytime you're with other people, you're picking up that emotional vibe. There's parts of your brain that automatically, behind the scenes, start firing that are similar in emotions than the person delivering that. So I love that idea of the bucket. You know, you drop your bucket, someone gets wet, right?
Right.
Exactly. What's happening. You know, we've had that contagion in fun ways. Comedy clubs, we all start laughing as other people do. Dance is contagious. The wave at the stadium, like these songs we sing, like it just there's this natural inclination. You know, we're kind of like herd animals. You know, we do flock together, and it's not a bad thing. But we can pick up other people's emotions. And it's like we're, you know, in my neck of the woods, if you will, my professional, and I really watching and trying to teach parents how to be thoughtful about how they present themselves in front of the kids. You got to be natural. You got to be real. They'll pick that up a mile away if you're not. But, you know, how impatient are you with all of this? How frustrated? How angry are you? You know, now more remote schooling, I just learned, for you folks. It's happening here as well. You know what? You've got to look at the very big picture here. We've got to get to spring. You know, we know with spring, the promise of both treatments and, you know, genuine vaccines is real. But we've got to get there, and we've got to do the right things in the meantime. And listen, there's going to be school systems that are falling apart. Why? Because, you know, this type of pressure, it exposes the cracks in everything. You know, everything's going to go faster and more confusing, and we're going to see where people really can't pull this off.
So that kind of opens the door to remote learning and about the things we need to begin to think about, one of them being kids being in front of screens too long and limiting time on screens. As a doctor, what are your thoughts?
So that's the first thing we think about, right, which is, oh, there's too much screen time. Now we know that they're going to need more screen time in order for it to be part of the remote learning. So
that's positive screen time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, make that distinction. And then there's sort of fun screen time. There's sort of like, I'm killing time, I'm bored.
Yeah, the games.
We don't want that as much, if at all possible. I'd rather them reading or walking outside or, you know, something like that. But to think about like the fun screen time as after the work screen time. But also, I want people to be thinking a lot about their bodies while they're on all these devices, particularly their kids. Turns out kids are showing more and more nearsightedness over the last several years because they're just staring at those screens. They're too close to those screens. You know, really should be about 2 feet away on average, but that's not what people tend to do, let alone kids. They sort of hover right in. And their eyes are not getting accommodated. The shape, as it grows, is not getting accommodated to seeing larger landscapes and bigger spaces where they go outdoors more. As people, kids in particular, are watching screens, that sort of staying there and the strain on the eyes is shaping, if you will, the eyeball. And it's actually causing nearsightedness. I'm worried about back pains and neck pains. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a new thing called text neck, right? There's a name for everything, right?
Oh, so, and we as women are being very careful about that because we've got to protect the neck.
Ah, there you go. All right,
you.
So you're going to love this. All right,
I'm holding my phone way up high.
There you go. So what do we do? Like, if you look at, like, when any of us, right, we cradle this thing, and so the shoulders round, the back sort of, like, gets slouchy, right? The head tilts down, right? Not good for the neck.
Nope.
And the problem isn't that you can't be in that position. Of course you can. You can do all sorts of positions with your body. It's just that you're there, on average, not saying you, but the average person, 5 hours a day.
Wow. Well, you might be accurate.
Yeah, so, probably.
And staying there is the problem. So your body was meant to really be more fluid and move around and, you know, You should be up and about and stretching mm-hmm. and whatever, rather than this, like, I'm going to have my eyes in this angle, my head at this angle, my shoulders, my back. So really, you've got to be looking at the kids and thinking about any kind of posture that they have that is sustained for long periods of time. Mm-hmm. Screens have the amazing ability, so does television, of keeping us sort of in one spot. And that's the danger, is how long you're in the one spot the muscles need to move.
On the phone with Dr. Anthony Rao, he is a nationally known child psychologist, and he has helped us each and every Friday morning get through this. Tell me about your book.
This is a book for people who are looking to get some control back in their lives. And our control, our sense of what we call our agency, that mm-hmm. you know, we can master our own lives. We have our own choices. We can use our best ways of thinking and our best ways of behaving. Those mm-hmm. are choices. And there's some simple steps. And if you can do this, then suddenly you now have more control over the things you can, and you accept what you cannot control. And it's a series of psychological best practices to guide people and kids and parents and teachers. And we're doing a lot now in the business communities, reaching out to help people feel like they're in more control. Their anxiety goes down. Their confidence goes up.
Exactly.
I do love being in control. That's a good thing.
The power of agency, seven principles. And I love that book. My final question has to do with my two boys. I really thought I raised two good boys, and I really like them. I think they're good people. But I'm thinking about trading them in now, and I want to know your thoughts. I brought them up to be Buffalo Bills fans, and now with this fantasy football stuff, and Brandon Bean, GM of the Bills, touched on this. My kids are so into fantasy football, and they should just like one team, and that's the Buffalo Bills. Thoughts on if a parent is disappointed in their children, if they're going more towards fantasy football, where they're just rooting for players and not a team? If yeah. I want to trade them in, your thoughts?
Yeah. If you actually set up like a national clearinghouse, I think it would just blow up.
Sure.
I think so. There's an interesting generational divide here. I started to watch, you know, a lot of the kids get into this, and it was sort of their way of sort of grabbing hold of the tradition of, say, football, and to be able to like do it in a more sort of like sophisticated,
yeah,
like statistical way.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. I personally don't do it. It's a little bit like, you know, it's a little confusing to me. I've never really gotten into it, so I've not. But it's a little bit like when I watch kids play magic cards, I'm like, what are you doing? How does
yeah.
this work?
Exactly.
Try to teach me. It's impossible for me to learn. But I really appreciate how they're able to get their minds around all that. And you know what? The sort of the ability to predict and have choice, to me, is incredibly empowering. It goes back to that idea of agency. You know, they're taking charge of something. They're not just going to say, well, I know, like, I'm supposed to be a Bills or, you know, a Patriots fan mm-hmm. or a Jets or whoever. It's like, you know what? Like, I can use my own mind in my own way and make my own assessment. I actually see it as something great.
Okay. So you like the creating. The
I checked team. On Google. You're still not allowed to trade your own kids away, Jan.
Not allowed? Okay, I'll keep
not,
them,
not right now.
They're good kids. I don't mind it. It's great talking to you. I know we're not going to talk to you next week, but we look forward to talking to you the week after.
Oh, same here. Take care, guys.
All right. Have a great vacation. Dr. Anthony Rao, nationally known child psychologist, always there to help. If you've ever got questions, you can always hit us up on social media, and we'll share those questions with Dr. Rao and maybe get some guidance on these ever-changing times.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.